Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm your host, Richard Price, CEO of Academia EDU. And I have to say, I am genuinely excited to bring you a bit of numerological mystery and ancient wisdom today. We're diving into a thought-provoking paper authored by Ruku Iansen called Te Putama Te Ora, The Wisdom of Nine. And just to be clear, as always, I'm here to neutrally share insights from the research, not to endorse or challenge it, okay? All right, so what is this paper all about? Why would anyone want to spend time exploring, you know, the number nine of all things and its relationship to wellness? At the heart of Ruku's work is a fascinating question. Can ancient knowledge about the number nine and all its symbolic, spiritual and mathematical baggage actually offer us a new, enriched framework for understanding and fostering wellness, especially mental wellness? And how does that fit with Maori models of health and modern ideas in psychology or spirituality? Think about it. Throughout history, nine keeps cropping up. 9 months of pregnancy, nine levels of consciousness in Buddhism, 9 days of Odin's sacrifice in Norse mythology. Even, if you're familiar with the way nine behaves mathematically, every multiple of nine reduces back to nine when you add its digits, like 9 times 7 is 63, 6 plus 3 is, well, nine. Isn't that wild? It just loops back on itself. Kind of like life, huh? Now, at a practical level, Ruku Iansen's paper explores whether these universal resonances with nine might actually help people approach wellness and personal transformation in a more connected, holistic way. And Ruku raises a really important core question. Can we create a framework for wellness that taps into these natural cycles of nine and draws on ancient wisdom alongside more modern indigenous models like Dr. Mason Dury's Te Wera Tapawa? For those not super familiar with Te Wera Tapawa, it's this four-sided Maori health model which covers physical, spiritual, family and mental health. Super robust. But, Ruku asks, what if we merge that with, say, nine-day cycles or nine-phase patterns? Can that take us deeper, maybe help us reconnect with our origins, offer more protection for our mental well-being? The paper suggests, for instance, that rather than the classic 21 days to change a habit idea, we look at 9 day cycles, or even a 3x9 pattern. So 27 days broken into 3 9-day segments. The core argument is that 9 days might be more manageable for the brain and spiritually aligned too. The first phase would be about initial breakthrough, the second is integration and testing, and the third is consolidation and mastery. Why does this matter for you as a listener? Well, if you're thinking about self-improvement, habit change, or just finding new approaches to wellness, this kind of cyclical thinking might actually give you a refreshing perspective. Instead of giving yourself mammoth goals or feeling burdened by endless routines, you could try working with natural ancient cycles. Maybe that's 9 days for a focused reset, or 3 rounds of 9 for deeper transformation. Imagine using that kind of rhythm as a framework for personal change. Doesn't that sound a little more humane? I mean, I'm not saying it's the answer, but it's genuinely thought-provoking. And there's another big theme in the paper, identity, or tuakiri. The idea is reconnecting with the wisdom of our ancestors, our roots, can become a kind of spiritual protection for our minds, a stabilizer when life gets turbulent. If you're someone who feels a little disconnected or who's ever struggled with where you fit in this hectic modern world, maybe this idea of grounding yourself in a sense of origin or in cyclical wisdom will resonate. Again, though, I'm just summarizing neutral here. This isn't some magic bullet, just one more lens to look through, right? A quick digression, because I have to admit, the first thing Nine makes me think about is the Beatles song Revolution 9, which is probably not where the author was heading at all, but there's something so hypnotic about how numbers, music, and meaning all overlap in our brains. Anyway, coming back to the paper, Ruku also asks about how these cycles fit in with lunar patterns, like the Maori Maramataka or other natural rhythms. The suggestion is that aligning to cycles already present in nature could make wellness practices more sustainable, less forced. What would it mean to reset yourself alongside the moon, or to view transformation as part of an ancient dance rather than just a solo sprint? So, to wrap up, the big takeaway is not that nine is a magical fix. It's more about experimenting with frameworks that feel rooted, cyclical, and personally meaningful. Academic research like what Ruku I. Hansen offers doesn't hand you truth on a platter, but it can get you thinking differently about your own life, your own well-being. All right. Thanks so much for joining me today on In Depth with Academia. Stay curious, experiment, and remember, every insight is just another piece of the puzzle. See you next time.